Steve.
Yes, sir.
Hey, welcome to the Reflex Blue Show. I'm Nate Voss.
Donovan Beery.
And with us back again.
It's been like forever,
it
man.
Has
this
been.
Is like the longest non-Steve streak, which is not a good streak to have.
This feels like a holiday. It feels like, oh, hey, guys, what's for dinner? What's on the tube? What game are we watching?
What you been up to? It's been a while since we've seen each other.
It has been.
Yeah. We had coffee not that long
ago. We did.
We had
a good chat.
Do you want to start with what we've been up to, or you want to start with what we're talking about?
Steve, tell Donovan and our listeners what happened last time you and I had coffee together. Because you always say that this stuff never happens to you and that I make it up.
I think it only happens when you're around, dude.
That's right. That's the new theory.
I promise you, it only happens when you're around. So we're sitting at Starbucks in, can I call it what it is? It's Cougarville.
Cougarville.
Yeah, Countryside Village in Omaha.
Yeah, it's in Omaha, and it's a Starbucks.
And so we're sitting outside. We're having an amazing conversation, talking biz, talking life, talking work. And then up runs one of my former athletes I used to coach, and she's working.
Whatever. Up run three smoking hotties. Not one, not two, Donovan. Three. Were they smoking? Yes.
Yeah.
Were they smoking cigarettes? No. So, okay.
Well,
I'm following.
It gets even better because at this point, then Nate is like, this only happens to you. And I retort, it only happens when you're around to catch it.
Right.
Because it happened at the Howe Conference.
Yes. So, and every other time that I see you ever.
It's only you. You're a good mojo, I guess. So that would have been enough. But it got even worse because at which point one of said smoking hotties literally asked me to jump on her back.
Steve, will you ride me? Was the question. I need you to ride me for a photo scavenger hunt that we're doing. At which point I stood up and said, I would be happy to take that photo for you. So
basically what you're saying is there's a lot of females out in Omaha doing scavenger hunts that require
ladies.
Yeah, we like to call them ladies.
We call them females.
And one of the things on the scavenger hunt is have Steve Gordon ride you.
Yes. And that's that might just be standard throughout Omaha.
And he leaves me in no position to argue it because he's witnessed it.
It was a real thing that happened. We have a photo somewhere. Anyway.
I'll find the photo. I can get the photo.
That's what Steve Gordon's been up to this summer since we last heard from him at the Howe Conference.
Riding ladies.
But hey, let's, how about we
find the whisker of a cat, a photo of Steve Gordon riding you.
It sounds a lot different.
And
it does. When I say Steve's riding ladies, it sounds like something. Now, Steve, you say it.
Riding ladies.
See, it sounds totally different when you say it. It sounds like what I picture in my head when you say it. When I say it, it still kind of sounds all right.
See, I need it to sound a lot more mundane.
Yes, that should actually be your goal in this situation, is to play it down.
Yes, play it down.
So, welcome to the Reflex Blue Show. We're going to kick it off this week with a little bit of what have you been designing?
Nice.
Steve, what have you been designing?
Couple of fun things. Collateral materials are the most recent.
Pick one.
Just finished an identity for a small batch baker.
Okay. What did you make?
What was different from your thought process than from your other projects you've done?
In this process, what I needed to do was I was able to create both naming, the brand architecture, the identity, the actual marks, and it was really important to keep in mind that this would be used on the shelf on a food item. I hadn't designed for food packaging before.
So does the logo need to be eaten?
No, but it is tasty.
Is it a
scrumptious?
It has to make you not lose your appetite.
So then
I wonder if we can get it in scratch and sniff.
What would it smell? Oh, baker. Smelling bread, right?
Specifically, snack baker. So pastries and berries and such.
Okay. Nice.
Yes.
So when does this hit? When can we see it?
It will be live. I'm going to try and push it live on my site tomorrow.
Oh, okay. So this is going on. So by the time people hear this, you can probably...
It'll be a week old, yes.
Okay, rad. And so you had to make a logo.
Yes.
You had to make a
logo brand, the in the brand identity or in the branding, the scheme of everything. Literally had to build the brand pedigree, give it some history because it was brand new.
So had to. So you had to lie.
Yeah, infuse it. Okay. I like to call.
I like that.
Infuse it like with some word. Pedigree, and then everything from the brand color palette, suggested typefaces, and not just one mark, but a suite of marks, a system, if you will. That can be used...
like maybe for different products?
For different products and also different facing. So, you know, vertical, horizontal, stacked, just to give it some flexibility in use so that they weren't trying to literally bastardize one mark on everything.
So then, okay, so you gave them like, you gave them a whole ass system of marks there.
Yes.
Okay.
Which for them is going to be a really big thing because they're literally... farmers market status, and they're going to blow the doors off of their table mates, I hope.
Okay. Okay. So that's kind of the goal. Yes. All right. All right. That sounds kind of neat, especially like fleshing a new... I don't know if I should ask that. I was going to... Like, charge more. You said, man, I got to make you a vertical and a horizontal and all this, but no. We ain't going to get into that. We should get into money on this.
Oh, well, we won't do money specifics, but in all fairness, with more came more. How about that?
There you go. I think that's a great way to do it. Hey, Donovan Berry, what are you even designing?
Well, there's this project just wrapped up yesterday. It wasn't a big project, probably, you know, only a couple hours total. But every now and then you get these requests where I'm working with another team. Someone else did a letterhead, and we just talked last time about how letterheads all go in digital. Mm. Well, yeah, my job on this project is just converting someone else's design into Word.
Right. Oh, was this what you were telling me about earlier today?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
tell Steve about what
you're
doing.
So this is the only part I get to do creatively is convert this into a Word template. Ooh. Not real hard. But then when the client sees
which
it...
Which means... You told me specifically the things you were doing. I want to hear it.
This is the step. So once the client saw it, when you see the PDF and the full marketing set, it's one thing, and I think they're buying it. And then they see the Word template, and they're like, well, wait. It looks odd because the margins aren't perfectly 1 inch on left and right.
Right.
So, and then, you know, we can't change the type at the bottom. You know, because we're going to have, like, they had, like, multiple offices. They wanted to change these, so their salesperson, I think, could put their name on it. And then there was a little box
that
the client...
So you had to change that to...
To Arial.
Oh,
I had
fantastic.
I had to move the nice margins that look great on a printed piece to standard Word margins.
Ooh, 1 inch, 1 inch.
And so then sexy. And then there's the one part of the letterhead on the lower left corner that kind of bled off real nice and had, like, a little acronyms in it.
Did you really say bleed and Word together?
Well, what happened was when they printed when you print from Word, your printer margins didn't print that off.
Right.
So then all of a sudden I had to take this thing that looked real nice off the edge and kind of push it into the right for no reason.
About a quarter of an inch, I'll bet.
And every single thing I knew I was doing was making this design worse, but it made it look better in Word.
Yeah. That is your life.
And that was my only thing. And then the problem was other than the change of pushing the thing over – like the margins, actually, then they're like, well, we want the margins to be the same on the printed letterhead as yours. And it's like,
oh God.
That's like design purgatory because make it look better in Word. You shouldn't, but because you're a good designer, you can.
Because you listen. Oh, we're going to get into that. Ugh. That's our topic of the day.
Nice.
So, so everything, the nice things we're working with the stationery, I went ahead and ruined.
Nice.
Stabbing yourself. That's good talk.
Nate,
hey, what?
What are you working?
You doing fantastic PowerPoints or something? What are you doing?
You know what? I would do a keynote for somebody right now because I got a new keynote. I got my new computer. Did I have the new computer last time we had the show? I don't think
I did. I don't think you did.
Steve, this is my new baby.
It's sexy, dude.
You probably didn't see it because mine is hovering over it.
Yeah,
because
Donovan's new baby is over there.
The 27-inch iMac.
The light is shining off of the screen from the 27-inch iMac.
This is like the Rebel Blockade Runner. Star Destroyer.
Oh, it feels good,
it
man.
It does. So things have been... you know how this new MacBook came about is that this summer I learned what my limits are in terms of how much work I can take on by exceeding them.
Aha.
And so I have been playing Unbury and catch up for the last several weeks.
Nice.
Yesterday I sent off, tentatively, knock on wood, the last... There's no wood around.
There's Formica on the floor.
Close to the floor. Thank you, Steve. the last couple pages for my most recent children's book.
Nice.
Which is not really a design for this. Actually, no, I guess the last one I didn't really do any design work for either. It's just like straight illustration. But sent off the last couple pages for that.
Vaughn would call you an illustrative designer.
He would, but it was just there was no design. He would call on that one. Even Vaughn would be like, "Hey, he did an illustrator." And a couple other things are wrapping up, but I think I might save those for the future. But this book was kind of neat because not to get into money, but yo, they didn't have a lot of money,
right?
So I couldn't do it like the way that I would, you know. I had to show some ingenuity in how I approached this illustration project because I couldn't spend a year and a half doing it.
Yeah.
So I got to kind of work out a new style that I could put together really quickly for it. And it was a lot of fun to work in, really kind of flat, my editor called it like it's like the end credits of, geez, what was that movie? Like the end credits of Ratatouille or something.
Oh.
Or the opening credits of Monsters, Inc. Not nice. That good. Not perfectly that style, but it started off very much in that vein. And then they pulled it back a little bit towards what I normally do. So
nice.
That's what I've been up to. I've been working on that since July.
That's sweet, man.
That wrapping up is good news. And I'll have more stuff that I'll probably talk about.
I actually have more stuff for you. Remind me to tell you later. It's off the show topic.
When we come back, right, we'll discuss how to deal with clients.
Yeah, hey, let's take a little break. We'll come back and we got a topic for the day.
Nice.
Clients. So they come over. What are we doing? Like how to talk to them?
You know what? I think that what we wanted to talk about today, and God, I hope, like, I'm looking at my levels on this thing, and I feel like I'm really far away. You know, what we had talked about was just, like, let's get into a little bit about talking, and what I think I want to use the proper capitalized communicating with your clients. I think it's something that... yes, and also not teabagging. or teabagging, depending.
Depending. That could be communication.
Yeah, I do not like your bar. Because I think it's something that a lot of, like, certainly, you know, some of the conversations I've been having as of late is that, you know, this is certainly the kind of thing that you never learn about in school and that you only really learn about from doing or from, you know, through osmosis of being in the world. But how many people actually really sit down and talk about communicating with clients?
Right.
You know, even the people that I learned from, Donovan, and you know this, even the people I learned from, maybe they weren't that good about it. Not that I haven't worked in the past with people who are really great at it.
You gotta set the mood, you dim the lights.
Yeah. Candles. You want me to go dim the lights right now for the show?
It's kind of a dirty business, so, you know, you feed them something hopefully endangered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If not, some veal.
Yeah. Here's some bald eagle.
Something very special. Compliment their outfit.
Yeah. Well, that's something that's a part of it. Some clients, you're going to want to compliment their shoes.
You do have to move.
Some clients, you're going to want to ask them how their family's doing. Here's a story that's going to kick us off. My first job, and this is ridiculous, and anyone listening to this is going to call me a liar because they still don't believe what happened in this meeting. they had a difficult client. Dude was just... He gave him a ton of work, but he was just a monster. He was just a bear to deal with. And eventually they struck on that he kind of liked the work that I was producing. And I'm maybe 12, 14 months out of school at this point.
Like, but your style hit what he was looking for.
Yeah, but I had no business being like one-on-one in a meeting with a client. One-on-one. With a long-standing client of this company. But they have trouble with this dude. And so they were like, all right, Nate, for whatever reason, we're putting you in the room with this guy today. Dude's a monster, right? And I'm like, okay, I can do this. This is 24-year-old Nate full of piss and vinegar. Like, I don't take over the world. And so I'm like, yeah, I'm going to talk to this guy. And I actually did. But what I found to be the difference was that I went in there with this guy and I asked him about how you doing today? That was my question. Now let's talk about work. When my boss or the other senior designers there talked to this guy, they would come in the room. They're like, hey, how you doing? Maybe they didn't touch him on the shoulder, but whatever. How are your kids?
Right.
Hey, did you see that movie? Or what about this thing in the neighborhood? And they would bullshit for like 15 minutes. And this guy would, he was laid back in that sense that he would bullshit endlessly, and then you talk about business, and he snaps and he's like, "Rawr." But I would just come in and say, "How you doing? Great business, boom!" And then we would talk, and we'd get to what he wants quickly, and then he would leave happy. And actually, the first time that happened, he started telling the story about clients that he hates, and he starts throwing out all these like swear words, talking about the way they talk to him. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you don't want that. Meanwhile, in the hallway out there, it's like everyone's listening, and they're just hearing him swearing at the top of his lungs. They're like, Nate's dying in there. Oh, shit, he's going down. And then he left, and he smiled, and we shake hands, and he takes off. And they're like, what the ever happened in there, man? We heard him cussing you out. I'm like, he didn't cuss me out. We were telling me a story. And they're like, no, he cussed you out. What are you talking about? I'm like, well, whatever. The work's approved. So anyway, so there's my opening story to get you guys going. Clients who you want to ask about their families. Clients who you want to get down to business with. How do you know the difference? Donovan.
Well, the first thing is you have to be yourself when you're talking to your clients a little bit. You want to be professional. You want to talk, you know, because you have to come across as an expert of some sort, or they're not going to pay you. Or they, you know.
Probably.
Right. Or they're not going to pay you well.
True.
Certainly there.
Yeah. So there is that. You want to, you know, you don't want to insult them unless.
Tell me about insulting, because you brought that up earlier.
Well, like
today,
when we
too.
Had Jeff Fisher on the show earlier, he said that, you know, people always show you their work, and you don't want to say like, "Hey, that's a terrible, worst logo. We can do better than that."
Yeah, so
because they have a vested comes in interest and says, in this. They've been showing this as their actual work for a while,
and for whatever reason, proud of it.
Well, yeah, sometimes it doesn't matter if they are proud of it or not.
Right,
it's theirs. It's like saying.
Your child's ugly.
Yeah, it's like having an ugly
you got the
baby.
Ugliest fucking dog I've ever seen. Yeah. What a good dog. Man, he's ugly.
Yeah.
You know, it's still their dog.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, and even if your job is to get them a new dog. groom that dog. If you're a dog groomer, right. You are not in the business of saying, your dog is fucking ugly. Yeah.
You can start with the conversation of, I see what you have here, and, you know, I can see what elements are working, and this is what we would build on, and this is how I would go about these things, and kind of talk about your procedure or, you know, what, you know, you want to set expectations as well. Okay. Both, you know, you want to set kind of an expectation of about what kind of money up front, because it's, you know, you want to get that up going.
You know,
and you want to set expectations
point.
Of what they're going to see from you.
That's a good point. Setting those expectations is part of the communication, and it also allows you to say what it is you're going to be delivering so that there's no guesswork. Because a lot of clients are like, well, what am I getting for my money? They're treating it like a supermarket when it's not. But if you can help set some of those expectations up front. I recently had that happen with a client where she flat out asked me, okay, so what is it I'm getting for this? As she's holding the check for the deposit.
Right.
Like in front of me, like I'll put this check on the table right now if you can explain your way out of this. So I laid it out for her.
And you better tell me.
Tell me where my money's going, biatch.
So then that leads me to the question you had in that situation that had not been spelled out previously. Here's X, Y, and Z of what you get.
It had been, but I think there's some of that personal contact. She saw the quote. She saw the paperwork. Right. She saw the contract, but she wanted to hear it from me, and I think to see if I knew what I was talking about.
Oh, yeah, or if you just like,
yeah, I borrowed that from someone else's contract.
Yeah, I just copied and pasted on the top of Donovan's contract there.
So it's the point of, I think she wanted to hear and have some confidence that the person she was dealing with was actually the person. It's like internet dating or something, you know, like, do you really look like that? Is that how you think? Is this what you're going to deliver?
Ladies. He does. He really does look like that.
Only when Nate's around.
Yeah. And then actually, when I'm not around, Steve is ugly as shit.
Yeah. Weirdness happens.
Yeah. I'm not a dog groomer, by the way. It's not my business making Steve look good. Come on. That's Steve's business.
Get out of here.
All right.
Go on some more.
So I'm hearing a lot of, put the client at ease. Tell them this so they understand.
It's a courtship.
Well, the client's nervousness is,
this first
is their business.
Anyway.
Or, well, even beyond that. Mm-hmm. This is their business they're running. They have a vested interest in career, money, or, it's some crazy hobby they have. It doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. What you're doing is portraying them in some way. Either maybe, and if they work for a big company, you're portraying them to their boss.
Yeah.
What you're doing is providing them, will they get a raise? Is this gonna mess it up? So you want to basically let them know that you can provide the work and that you can meet the expectations that are needed so that they achieve their goals or that they appear to, their target audience in that specific way. And if you can tell that to the client and they feel good about it, always, that's really what they're looking for.
Well, and then to build on that, people like to, especially business people, even once they've gotten to you, if they're not the biggest outfit, they're successful in some way, and that's in their mind. I know what I'm talking about. So
oh my God.
There's that
that's
natural,
fucking brilliant.
There's
Jesus.
That natural butting of heads that's going to happen because
You're going to go down in history for that quote, Steve. They're successful in one way in their mind. All clients
they
are.
They are, because they've gotten to that point. They've come to you. They want your help building something, but they don't want it negated. They're insecure about that. They don't want it negated that they're business people, too, and they know what they're talking about. And so that's why they cling tightly to parameters of the project often.
So let me throw a situation at you guys. When a client feels like you don't get what they're trying to do, how does a great designer – we didn't even talk about that, Donovan. Donovan Berry, how does a great designer – we'll get back to that. Deal with a client that feels like you don't get what they're trying to do. How do you resolve that situation?
You have to make sure. I mean, the two things I make sure to ask when dealing with a client is, who is the target audience for this? Mm-hmm. And what are the goals of it?
So let's say you have that. They come back and say, you're fucking crazy.
Then
what are you doing?
What happens is when you present them the work, you don't just be like, oh, here's our sample sometimes. Sometimes, if you've worked with a client long enough, that'll work fine. But even just giving a real short definition of, when we spoke, you said, this was what you wanted to portray and these were the goals. And we thought about that. And because of, X, Y, Z, this is the thought process we had. And this is the solution from it. And then you kind of show the work. And at that point, you're kind of setting up. So even if it's a failure in their eyes and it's not what they want, at least they can be like, oh, I see where he was going.
Right.
You missed the mark.
Right.
Or he can say, well, you might have misinterpreted that wrong. And you're like, well, then what should we be looking for?
Well, at our last conversation, Nate, you and I talked about one of my processes.
Right.
Part of that is I don't even proceed until I know where they're headed or what they're talking about. Even so much to say that you kind of head shrink and go into some of the causes for their thought, not necessarily just their thought.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got some thought history, you've got some pedigree going on the client themselves, where their head is at. That way you can even sometimes predict how they're going to respond to certain things.
Right.
So you don't get in the trap of designing something and then having them say, you don't get it. I got it before we even started designing.
Right. And I think that now we're getting into what I think is actually what I want to say I believe is actually the key to communicating with clients, which is listening to clients. And I think that especially for younger designers, I know this because I was there, for years.
Same here.
Listening to clients and really spending time. This is something that you guys have been touching on here. Really spending time getting to the heart of what they are after, what they want, and what they need is absolutely key, and then communicating back to them what you're hearing. Client says, well, I need yada yada, I need this, I need to be fucking yellow, and it's probably going to look like the Pepsi can with Chuck E. Cheese logo on it, and to really hear what they're after and then be able to, quickly in the conversation, get back to them. What does that mean to you? If you were to sum that up in words that you can, take action on,
Yeah,
it's like that back to them.
Like your kids saying that they hate you. They don't really. They've said something harsh. Now get to what's behind that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Why are you really mad, baby? but you know what? But that's honestly it. It's, you have to really set it up, and the only really you have to set it up correctly at the beginning is what I want to say. And the only way to really do that is to really, really pay attention and listen.
Yeah.
I think that people who, I'm of the opinion, let me say, that people who bitch about their really, really tough clients or, oh, this client doesn't get it, or this client's an a-hole, or this client's ruining my work, that those designers are designers who aren't listening to their clients. Yeah. I think great designers can take any client's shitty idea and make it great, because that's your job. Because if their idea is, you know, good or bad, central to their wants and needs for their project, whatever they may be, like Donovan said,
right?
Then hey, a great designer can make that happen and happen well.
And so many times
there are clients that
Donovan's coming back around. I love it.
And
oh
it's,
my god, look at how quiet my levels were on that.
There are clients that don't necessarily work well with every designer. And no, that's why different designers have different clients.
Totally right.
Well, yeah,
and
true.
There are clients that, and at that point, you need to find different clients.
There's a certain company that's been, that has floated around, I want to say like 6 or 7 different like Omaha shops, and I've just seen them here or there. And they make a certain product, and I don't want to say any more than that, but I think maybe Steve already knows what I'm talking about. And, yeah, they've been like searching for their perfect fit for forever, and sometimes they don't like the designer, sometimes the designer don't like them. They get good work done, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Everyone throws
it out
there.
I think that match between client and designer is a big key.
All right, well, let's wrap this up after the break.
Yeah, let's take a little break here. We'll come back. So, okay, so we got the importance of listening.
Well, and the other thing is you can't treat all your clients the same communication-wise.
Right.
Some clients like a lot. I mean, I have one client where they you know, want to see that things are moved on regardless of speed. So if you send them 30 emails over 2 days, it's great. I mean, that would be considered
whether or not anything's actually getting done.
No, like
just spending all day typing emails.
Like if you're going through and, you know, there's that revision where it's a production work of updates being made, like to a website, you know.
Sure. You send those? I don't know.
Sometimes.
No, I'm not saying that I know the way to do it.
You know, one client we have comes and they said, here's the list of changes we want, and they're kind of production changes. And they would actually be fine if you sent each one of them individually. This one has been done. This change has been made. Because they want to see that.
Yeah.
Then you have another client where they're like, why'd you send me 3 emails in one day?
Yeah.
So, but it's kind of understanding that and kind of asking your clients. So, I mean, we do custom design. We do custom creative. You kind of have to ask your client how, you know, on certain things, how do you want this back? Like, how do you want us to proceed with getting back to you on things?
Just to get back to their comfort level. So that kind of flexibility affects your process.
Yeah.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I think it's fine. It's just knowing how to deal with individual clients. You don't really work with that many clients where it's, you know, impossible to remember that, hey, we send this person 18 emails and this person won.
Well, and being an independent, you know, straddling the line, having my own clients and working for other studios and other places as clients, I've found that it works one of two ways. For my own clients, I end up being quite friendly with them afterward. We exchange emails, even a personal variety, checking on how you been, how are the kids and whatnot. Like
Facebook friends. One of my clients is a Facebook friend.
Yeah. And
that's what we're going to next.
And when being an independent and working with clients that way, it started to become one of my parameters. If we haven't become friendly at the end of this process, I messed up some way or somehow, because that is my process to get close. And if we're pals, if we're at least communicating like friends, then you're letting me in on some things that you might not have told a designer.
Right.
And so now I'm more effective.
I prefer a hate relationship.
Yeah. Steve's process is always to get close.
But therefore, I can't.
Keep going, Steve.
But then for the studio clients that I have, again, right. being a fully independent creative and working freelance for other clients or other studios, what I'll often do is I've found that being art director status, sometimes even closer to creative director status, I'll have some of those studio clients hand off work and not want an update until it's done because they trust me and they really need it off their plate so they can move on to something else. So I'm a trusted consultant.
I found difficult situations have sometimes cropped up for me when it's very similar, but the people handing off the work need, like Donovan said, the constant updates.
Ah, yeah.
So it's like they're handing it off, but they're probably spending just as much time during the day, like checking, like,
yeah.
Ooh, this.
Yeah. They're like, here, let me do it.
The one that I have that likes the constant update is mainly so they know that I'm working on their project.
Right.
And they like, oh, versus he's still
the one,
working
that, the
on
one
it.
That I had that was like, wants a constant update.
Everybody doesn't trust
what you do.
The biggest thing with the communication is letting them know when they should expect something. And they should know how much stuff is going to cost. Those are the two things that will cause you the most problems or have, you know, that I have seen.
Oh, money will always cause you the biggest problem.
Well, the first one is if you're going to miss a deadline and, you know, like a soft deadline or something like that, mm-hmm. let them know before the deadline.
Oh, yeah.
That this thing
yeah,
might move
as
a little
much
bit.
Of a
as a matter
up
of
as
fact,
can.
Build yourself a cushion in beforehand. And then over-deliver. Under-promise, over-deliver. Makes you look great every
also,
time.
But it's also sometimes hard to get work that way.
Yeah.
But the other part is...
I was going to take this up again. 2 weeks.
But the thing is...
A month and a half?
If they
You don't build in a whole other project date. Yeah.
But the money issue...
I can do that
issue,
next year, yeah. I promise.
If they know what something...
2012,
yeah.
right?
On the money, if they know what something's going to cost, there's never really any issue.
No.
But if they make a bunch of changes, which will sometimes change cost... Let them know as soon as possible before you actually make the change.
Oh, I let them know before. Yeah. It's in the contract that the change order cost is this. If you go outside of these parameters, that'll keep them corralled really fast when you tell them, sure, I can make a change, and you already know how much it's going to cost you. So yeah. Let's shop wisely, folks. Shop smart, shop as smart.
Kind of like, I just want to let you know that I can make that change, but this is the point in the project
yep.
where it's going to cost you more.
Yep.
Usually for me, I found that comes, at least the way that I work, after I've delivered something that I believe to be final.
Yeah, you can supersize it if you want.
Because honestly, if you're again, what I want to keep coming back to, if you're really listening to your client, you're really working on their solutions, it shouldn't really like always take you more than one round of revisions unless they're not getting you everything.
That's interesting to put the onus back on the designers to say, if your client is coming back with a ton of change orders, look at yourself. It might be you not listening.
I believe that that is true. If you're really listening to what they want and need,
yeah.
Then,
that's a good point.
Then it shouldn't take 8 rounds of revisions
that's
to
a good
get there.
There was only 1 round of revisions on that word letterhead I worked on, I'll tell you that.
You
oh, yeah,
nailed
right.
it, son.
Yeah, what you want. I'll do anything to this. Give
I
you
will
money.
Make
you
this
don't even
look
understand.
As bad as
How,
you think
you
it
You want
should.
2-inch margins? I'll do 2-inch margins.
I'll make Word cool. look good, and then he walks out of the room.
Yeah. With his Ray-Bans on.
But, you know what the sad part was? Is in Word itself.
Wait, the whole thing?
Yeah, but in Word itself, which was what they were delivering to their clients, it actually looked better because it looked appropriate.
Right.
Because
it worked. No, I got you on that.
Yeah.
But, where were we? I have lost our rambling.
I think we've wrapped it up.
I think we wrapped them nicely.
Well, I feel pretty good about it. I mean, like overall, to summarize, and I think, yeah, my point of view on it is it really just comes down to, you know, how good you're listening and problem solving.
Mine would
are.
Be give your client a seat at the table. They just want to be heard.
Oh,
they
God,
want to be
yes,
they want to be included.
About that.
They want to be included. And they have every right to be included.
Well,
but
hell yes.
A lot
it's
of
their
times,
money. It's their
designers
work, right?
will corral it, take it, and run away with it, and say we'll be back to you with something brilliant, rather than hey, pull up, put the client in the car with you, and drive off.
See, and I feel like there's a time to like the, one when you get from the conceptual stage to the execution. Now I'm going to go build your InDesign file mm-hmm. and make your patterns and make your logo. Like I feel like that, at least the way I work, is the time to pull it in and insulate.
Right.
But
right.
everything up to that, the week or
right.
two or two, three, 4 weeks of building before
right.
that, like
right.
And you know, and we picked this up from Joe Duffy, like, that's how you build yes. success into your project yep. is you make them a part of it.
Yeah, you have to.
You eliminate a surprise. You never blindside them with something they aren't expecting to see, and then when they see something built off the concept that they, to some extent, helped you, you know, piece together, oh, here's some things that I'm thinking, now tell me which ones out of what I am thinking
right.
are okay to you,
right.
and then you, and then they get something that's going to look kind of like this, and then you come back a week later, and it looks like that, but maybe even better, because we're all pros here.
Yeah.
Then you get success.
And our job is not solely to create from scratch, it's to facilitate a client's vision.
Right. Oh, Steve. Whoa, it's like a genius
it's,
over
it's
here.
Almost Friday. It happens when it's almost Friday.
Yeah. Donovan, you got anything to add to that? Are we going to...
I think that's about it, other than what's happening out there in the world.
We're
going to
do the What's Happening, oh, What's yeah. Update.
Nice.
What's Happening, What's Update.
Welcome. Welcome to the What's Happening, What's Update. We're not even going to take a last break before we get into this. Let's start, gentlemen, briefly with competition deadlines that are upcoming. Mm-hmm. Last time we talked about the Oxide Design book, letterhead logo letterhead letter
deadline
letter,
passed. It's
deadline
over.
Done.
Ah,
as has the one of the How Ones Interactive. I think that was last time. Okay, so still on the table. Designers, get your work in. Communication arts typography competition. I don't want to say typographic competition, but it's the CA Typography Annual, first ever.
Mm.
That deadline is coming up on September 10th. So if you are mad with type, and I know a lot of you are because I see work out there, get that in.
Word.
You got rad type skills. I mean, it's the first one ever. Get in. It's going to be a full-blown annual, so it's not like, let's say what Donovan was telling me about the How Poster competition where maybe there's only going to be 10 winners.
Oh, wow, really?
I think so. It's pretty exclusive.
That's,
I
mean, that's what Donovan Berry told me.
But on the other hand,
be
being
right.
that exclusive means that if you get in, you're
mad
the king.
Props.
So,
mad props.
I feel like I want to follow up on that, though, because that's crazy. I really want to enter, but if they're only going to pick 10 winners.
You're not
like,
worried?
I don't know. I'm not like poster man.
I'd be interested with the typography competition and what the parameters are, like how wide or narrow the categories will be.
Oh, shit, Steve. Earlier this year, you and I and a couple other guys sat around and
we
said
did.
We're going to design our typeface.
We did. I'm still on it. I'm still on it.
I haven't touched mine for like 6 months.
I need the final output. I need the programming. I've been reaching out to some people about what was best. So.
Oh, Fontographer is what I've heard.
Yeah.
And there's varying levels of that program.
Hydro 74 puts out quite a bit of good type, and so I'm trying to reach out to him and see what he uses for
all right,
his faces.
All right. Oh, and you know what? Maybe we could get that done. We could get the House Dudes or Hoffler guys.
Oh, nice.
So anyway. So September 10th, CA Typography Competitions. Dude, how has, as predicted, extended the International Design Awards entries to September 15th?
Nice.
That is the major How Everything annual. That's a big one.
Yeah.
Also coming up on a month later, early bird entry deadline. Again, we like to predict that these things always get extended because they do. The How Poster and the How Logo Design Awards are both due on October
15th. And the AIJ Nebraska Awards are at the end of the month. That
yeah,
one,
hey, local
that,
listeners.
That one.
End of this month? September?
When do they do? 19th?
I think the 29th or something?
29th.
That one does not get extended because the judges are here to judge like the next
day.
The
next day. Well, actually, no, because the way they do that here is like Wednesday's deadline, then like extended deadline is like Thursday.
Yeah, because Thursday they make a lot more money in entries.
That's fundraiser. but you know what? One of the things, let's put that out to our listeners. The AIJ Nebraska Design Competition does not have any rule in place limiting entries to things done by Nebraskan designers. So send them in, yo.
No, nice.
It's pretty cheap if you're an AIJ member. But anyway.
Word.
That's what I got. Graphis has some things slated for fall, but whatever. If they can't even put a date on it, and I don't know that any of it, you know, do people still enter Graphis?
I think it's big in Europe.
I feel like Graphis is kind of like Quark.
I have a feeling it's big in Europe.
Yeah, okay.
That's the feeling I've always had.
Like sticks?
Please correct me if I'm wrong.
Actually, so what I want to say there is if you are, if you got a design competition happening, let us know. We will let people know about it here. News of the World, let's see, Communication Arts just did their Design Annual 51. We got it sitting right here.
Nice.
Go check that out. Good design. I think Donovan's waiting to see if I'm... There's a local boy that got something in there.
In here?
It's exactly who you would think it would be. He's been in there before, so congrats to him and those guys.
Right.
Oh, and Joe, who I think did a lot of this, was on our show last time.
Oh nice. Yeah. Joe Sperano. Sperano System.
I can only guess, because I think I know which one it was.
Do you have it marked, Donovan?
No,
I
don't.
This is great radio time. We'll show you off. We'll show
Word.
You
Let's go to the Oxide. Go to the Oxide blog. You'll see.
Oh man, I was trying so hard not to name drop them. But all right, it is Oxide. So that's out. That's exciting. That's actually a big deal. So congratulations if you're in there. Only one local Nebraska guy for us.
I wonder how many of us send in though.
Yo, I totally didn't.
I didn't.
That's right, Drew. The only reason you're the only one is because I didn't enter.
That was Nate. That wasn't me.
We were following this. Next up on news. Apple are now allowing Flash development for the iPhone.
What?
And they have released their full guidelines for what apps get published and what apps get rejected, which they had never done
before. To me, honestly, too little, too late.
That kind of follows up on last week's show. We were talking about
better start doing Flash again.
Yeah,
polishing up the skills.
Yeah, Adobe's stock jumped 12 points on the news that Apple was doing something. But the point that was made on Wired today was that, like, in no way does this mean that Flash is suddenly going to work on your iPhone.
No, not at all.
Because what they're going to do, they're letting people develop it in that, and then it gets, like, ported over using another system into something that will run on, like, an iPhone. But that's just, like, a follow-up. I gotta tell you, the graphic design industry so far, not super good for bi-weekly news items, but I'm working on it. So if you got news, like real news, not like, check out, please like my thing on Facebook, send us real news. We want it. That is what's happening in the world of graphic design as we speak, gentlemen, unless you got something else.
I got enough.
So pretty good show this week. Let's pat each other on the back. Steve, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me. Sorry I was running late. I was coming through traffic at breakneck speeds.
Please, we were going to record this only like 7 hours ago, so it's really no big deal, Steve. Whenever you can get here, really, it's fine.
Again, it only happens when you're around.
Right? Oh, was it the ladies that detained you for 7 hours? That was it, wasn't it? I thought you said it was work. You said you've been working hard today.
Seven hours of piggyback.
7 hours of piggyback ride. Check, please.
That's a lot. It's a Congo line.
And remember, if your client is not listening to you, you demand authority. I drive a Dodge Stratus. You tell your client how it is.
Yeah. I'm going to have to get one of those first. All right, Donovan, let's call this a Reflex Blue show.
We'll be back in 2 weeks.
We'll be back in 2 weeks with more shows. Peace out.
Peace.